$24.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all my pillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
He still has a long list of accusers, both in the U.S. and Britain, but one high-profile sexual misconduct case against actor Kevin Spacey is dead.
They're just dying to have me declare that everything said is true and that I got what I deserved.
That's Spacey in a video he posted shortly after this case began a year ago, in which an 18-year-old Massachusetts man accused him of groping him at a Nantucket bar in 2016. Prosecutors said Wednesday the accuser is no longer willing to testify against him. The case against Spacey began to break down when the alleged victim's cell phone, considered key evidence in the case, supposedly went missing.
But you wouldn't believe the worst without evidence, would you?
Spacey still has a long road ahead of him, though, given the number of allegations and accusers that stretch back more than two decades. This afternoon, House Democrats expect to bring a bill to the House floor that would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 if it passed, which is unlikely. And even if it passes in the House, it will not pass in the Senate. The legislation would increase the national minimum pay rate per hour over the course of the next 5 years. Republicans say it would cause millions of people to lose their jobs and small businesses would suffer. And Beatles legend Paul McCartney is writing a stage musical based on the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Producers aiming to launch the show in late 2020. It's a Wonderful Life, a 1946 film. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about four giant time sucks that could be ruining your business. I'll discuss how you can maintain your brand reputation. I'll have six financing options to help you in a cash flow crunch. And I'll have four reasons why your store needs an e-commerce website in order to grow. It's Thursday, July 18th, 2019. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And a check of the weather shows it's currently 78 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that today we're going to have scattered thunderstorms throughout the day and evening with a high of 84 and a low of 69. There is also a flash flood watch in effect for tonight. For tomorrow, we'll have mostly sunny skies, a high of 93 and a low of 74. Saturday, it'll be sunny with a high of 96 and a low of 75. And for Sunday, the heat wave continues. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 93 and a low of 70 with scattered thunderstorms during the evening. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 132.16 to 27,087.69. The NASDAQ is down 45.69 to 8139.25. S&P 500 down 9.68 to 2974.74. Oil is down $1.88 to $54.90 per barrel. Gold is up $4.50 to $1,427.80 an ounce. Well, again, I'd like to welcome all of you to the program. It is Taking Care of Business, so it's a little after noon on a Thursday afternoon, and that means one thing. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business, so glad you could join me. If you're listening, chances are you are near a computer, near your cell phone, or a tablet. We'd ask you to open up another URL browser and search for the program on Facebook called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot, and it's available on Facebook. And like the program and follow it so that you can get updates midweek on any changes, things happening in the business world that we think you should know about on a minute-by-minute basis. We'll put it there first. Right now it's time for the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And it comes to us this week from Brian Tracy, the well-known sales guru, who said, "The effective leader recognizes that they are more dependent on their people than they are on them. Walk softly." And when I give you these quotes every week, I always ask people, you know, do you agree, disagree? Is this something that, you know, you believe in? So if you're the leader of the business, what do you think? Are you the most important person in the building, or is it your staff who's the most important person in the building? And very often I always tell people, and I credit my crew, because without them, the work doesn't get done. And so the effective leader recognizes that they are more dependent on their people than they are on them. So walk softly. And you have to give your employees credit. I love when I talk with a business owner or a manager and they say that their employees are liabilities. And that's probably not true. Your employees are assets in your organization, because if they don't get the job done, your company doesn't get, you know, the job done. So always look at your employees as if they're an asset. Yes, they're a line item. It's a salary. It's something that you have to account for. But the ability to produce the work, to sell the product, that's going to come through as an asset in my book. Had a great time last week, last Thursday night at the Star Thrower Gala. It was the gala recognizing the first anniversary of the Star Thrower Group here in Flemington, which is an organization that was founded by Jenny Clark to help individuals affected with special needs as they get out of high school. So when they're 21 and older, help them continue to learn job skills, social skills, and integrate into society. And so it was a great time there. I was able to give a speech to the members and to the people in attendance. And what was great was the week before, there were only 45 people signed up. And then at the gala, there was over 125 that had joined us. So raised a lot of money for the Star Thrower Group, much needed money. And hopefully you will continue to support them as well. You can go to their website, which is starthrowergroup.com. If you have any questions or about the group or how you can get involved and help. And now, of course, with this week and the significance of the anniversary that we're all celebrating this week, where were you when these words were spoken?
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Oh, that looks beautiful to me.
It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States. It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
So if you've been watching television this week on the Science Channel, on the National Geographic Channel, the Discovery Channel, the Smithsonian Channel, a lot of specials this week, and even the networks, on the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing, the first men to walk on the moon, which were Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. So where were you? Do you remember where you were? And it's funny when you talk to people who weren't even alive or they were too young to remember. But anybody my age, I'm 58, you know, you can remember sitting in the living room. I can remember certain moon shots where they would wheel a television into the gymnasium at school, and we would all crowd around this, like, 19-inch television, black and white, and watch, you know, rockets lift off. There was a sense of national pride back then, both in the space program and what we were doing. And I think just about every kid, when you were growing up in the 1960s and early 70s, wanted to be Neil Armstrong. I know I certainly did. One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And now we're talking about, you know, Mars and colonization of different space bodies. And it's, you know, it's amazing to see where we've come from and where we are, and answering John F. Kennedy's call to land a man on the moon by the end of the decade. I'm enjoying every minute, and I'm recording every minute. I'm a huge space geek, but recording every minute of all the programs dedicated to Apollo 11. And there's one gentleman that always sticks out, and I think he should be considered a national hero. His name is Gene Kranz, and he was the flight director for NASA back then with Apollo 11. And just cool as a cucumber, cool under pressure, same haircut for like the last 80 years. He's 86 years old now, but just it's great to see that he's still alive, still just as enthusiastic about space exploration as he was back then. And hard to imagine that that campaign, the Apollo campaign, particularly Apollo 11, was Gene's responsibility, and he was only 36 years old. And what was interesting in some of these programs was the average age of some of the engineers was around 26, 27. These kids were just out of college, and they're launching rockets to the moon. I found it interesting in one interview that they said, you have more computing capability in your smartphone than was on board Apollo 11. And that just, when you think about that, it really blows your mind a little bit that, you know, your cell phone, your smartphone has more computing capability than the lunar module did, than the command capsule did. So great. It's been great this week and last week watching all of these Apollo 11 documentaries. Got to go to the National Air and Space Museum a few weeks ago and a big display down there on Apollo. So it's just, to me, it's fascinating. I love it. And hopefully share it with your children and get them to understand what, you know, space travel was, you know, trying to explain to them the Cold War and how important it was that we'd be the first on the moon. When we come back, we're going to start right into the program. And I wanted to talk to you about why your website needs an e-commerce capability. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every Thursday at this time when we get together to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Hunterdon County and on the national scene as well. Came across this story, and as I've been doing research for the program over the last month or two, this seems to be coming up more and more frequently. And that is, if you are a retail business, brick and mortar store, you have a website, maybe you don't have a website, the need for an e-commerce component in your website is going to become critical in the next 5 years, meaning your customers have to be able to buy directly from your website, and that's what e-commerce basically is. So they can look at your website, they can browse. That may give them the inkling that, well, I'll go to the store and buy. But now more than ever, it seems as if people don't have enough time. They're looking for the convenience, and it's easier for them to say, hey, Siri, or hey, Google, find a trophy shop near me, find a jeweler near me, find anything near me, and be able to purchase online. So the need for e-commerce is growing, and it's growing at a rapid rate. And there are some indicators that in the next 5 years, if you don't have an e-commerce capability on your website platform, your sales are going to either stagnate, they're going to sink, or it could even force you out of business because your competition is offering them. Now, if we were to rewind the hands of time, say 20 years, QVC came out 25 years ago. What does QVC stand for? Quality, value, and the big one, number C, convenience. And at the time, when you could watch TV, see a necklace or a pair of pants or a blouse or something like that, dial a phone number, have your credit card ready, order it in your size, and have it delivered to your house in 2 or 3 days, it offered quality, value, and convenience. Then Amazon came out. Same thing, quality, value, convenience. Initially selling only books and eventually moving on into millions of other products. So, again, with the e-commerce, if you look at the trends, not necessarily people my age, but the people who have been growing up with cell phones since they were 10 years old are now entering their 20s, maybe some even in their 30s. They're having children. They have too many things on their plate, and so they are looking for that big C of convenience. So for a business to grow, it must consistently reach new customers and communicate effectively with their existing ones. Now, if you have a physical storefront, you've probably realized these two requirements for growth are not easily achieved. Creating an e-commerce website allows a retail store to break through the limitations a physical location presents while increasing sales of its products. I can't tell you how many times a customer will call us and they'll say, I'm on your website, I want to place an order, but I can't find where to do it. And we tell them, well, we don't have that capability at this time, but I can take your order over the phone. And you can almost sense the disappointment that, oh, I just wanted to place my order and be done with it. Now I have to talk to you for the next 10 minutes. And we'll offer them, you can email it in, something like that. But that's, again, another step that people don't want to take. So 4 reasons an e-commerce website is necessary to grow your store, the first of which would be to collect lead and customer data for email marketing. I have talked so many times on this show about the need for building your email database, but let's review it again. We know it's tough to collect email addresses and other useful information during checkout in your store. Shoppers at the finish line of making a purchase will normally decide not to extend the process by providing information for the clerk to plug in, regardless of the offer. Gathering information online is much more effective, as website visitors can do this on their own time. Take into consideration the fact that you only have the opportunity to speak to someone making a purchase, leaving out all prospective customers who leave without a bag in their hand. Collecting leads online is an even more effective method. So email marketing gives you the ability to increase new and repeat business by strategically and continuously re-engaging prospective customers. This opportunity doesn't exist for businesses strictly running a physical storefront. You also need to develop ways to capture your email addresses with various offers that your website can provide. The second item on why you need e-commerce is to reach new prospective customers through search engines. A large factor in a physical store's success derives from its location. Now, if you're not in a good one, the visibility of the store is lessened. Having an e-commerce website levels the playing field between prime locations and less trafficked areas. Instead of your physical address determining your business's location, your ability to rank in search engines determines how visible you are. Potential customers who haven't driven past your store or heard about you from someone else have the ability to find you online. Every day, someone is searching for something relevant to your store's products, and e-commerce site gives you the ability to get found, buy, and sell your products to them directly through the web. I can remember there was a store in Newark that used to sell fire equipment. And so if you were going to get a new pair of, you know, fireproof gloves or something like that, or welding equipment, you would have to go to their store. And this is before, you know, the internet really took off. And you really feared for your life going into this neighborhood. And, you know, I'm here, I'm a fireman, I need to buy a new pair of gloves. And you would just fear for your life that, you know, you were traveling in there, you'd have to pull into a gate, it would be barbed wired and everything like that, and you'd make your purchase and get the hell out of there. And now they do have an e-commerce site, and they say the foot traffic is way down, but the online traffic, the sales, is way up because, again, people don't necessarily want to go to this particular neighborhood, but they still want the product. You also want to increase the visibility of in-store promotions, and you can do that with an e-commerce site. Every store has certain promotions and are always looking for ways to spread the word about their newest deals. Your e-commerce store is another avenue to market your special promotions. These promotions are also a great way to execute on the first point of this post, which is collecting email addresses. So visitors to either one of your stores, be it online or offline, should be exposed to these promotions so they can take advantage of them. Promotions help the business grow short-term with increased sales, and long-term, since promotions typically will include a sign-up step, giving you the ability to reach out to these people later for repeat business. And it will allow prospective customers to shop where, how, and when they want. Now, if you only have one way that people can shop for your products, you're missing out on the percentage of shoppers who prefer to, and sometimes are only willing to, shop the alternate way. Many people like to shop online to avoid traveling time and traffic while enjoying the comfort of their own home. Shopping online also gives them the ability to shop when they want, including times that your store is closed. Remember, your e-commerce store is always open. So regardless of an individual's reasons, more and more people are turning online to get shopping done. Others prefer to drive to the physical store so they can touch and examine the products. And even if they found your store online and research your products in more detail, they may decide to make the commute to the store in order to make the final purchase. The advantages of one store will counter the disadvantages of another, which allows store owners to cover all their bases and eliminate the possibility of these disadvantages affecting their sales numbers. And when I talked about the need to create that more visible brand awareness, I had a vendor stop in the store this week, and he was talking about how for his company, a huge company, they still are working on creating their front-of-mind presence with the vendors that buy their product, buy and then resell their products. So it's amazing to me that even in a company that large, they're worried about their front-of-mind presence with the consumer. So everybody has to have that. You have to have that concern. How will people find you? The three W's, who you are, where you are, and what you do, are critically important. And creating that front-of-mind presence so that people will, when they need you, they may not need you today, but when they do need you, they come to you, or they go to your website and they go to your e-commerce platform. Again, without an e-commerce platform, there is a good chance that many more businesses will close. 7,200 businesses have already closed in 2019. Big businesses, big box stores, 7,200 have closed. That doesn't include all the little mom and pop shops, but 7,200 businesses have already closed. Some because they didn't, you know, follow trends and adapt. When you think of stores like Blockbuster, you know, they didn't keep up with the trends of streaming. And there's several other examples of businesses that in their heyday were the go-to place to do business. And now they're just a distant memory. So don't become a distant memory. Research what it would take to get an e-commerce platform on your website and then do it. Because if you look, even McDonald's now is offering delivery. So there's an e-commerce platform there. I went to Jersey Mike's on Saturday, I think it was, or Sunday. And I went to the Jersey Mike's store. And I looked, and they were making sandwiches, but there was nobody else in the store. And I asked, who are you making these sandwiches for? They go, oh, that's our online orders. So even somebody like Jersey Mike's can take online orders, build the sandwich the exact way you want it, and all you have to do is come in, pick it up, and go. You don't have to pay for it because you would have already done that online. So, again, e-commerce is going to be huge, and it's going to be the way business gets done in as little as 5 years. And if you don't adapt to that, you will die. All right, so let's talk about your brand reputation for a few minutes and how to maintain that brand reputation. As a small business owner, you're likely to face you're likely the face of your business, and your reputation matters, especially if you're operating in a small town or in a specific neighborhood, and all it takes is one major incident to throw your reputation into question. If you're accused of a crime, if you botch an important job, or even if you get a bad review, it could negatively impact your ability to find work in the future. Fortunately, you can improve your brand reputation and mitigate the damage from negative events with a handful of important strategies. First, start with a strong reputation. The best approach is to start with a strong reputation by establishing yourself as a leader within the community and fostering a positive image for both your personal and your business brands. Those two are interrelated. And there are several strategies you can use for this, including being active on social media, because social media is one of the most visible channels for your personal and corporate brand, and it's one of the best ways to connect with your customers on a regular basis. Create a profile for both yourself and your business and spend time engaging with your customers, answering their questions, providing advice, and showcasing your personality. Get personal. Don't be afraid to be yourself. It's important to maintain your professionalism, but that doesn't mean hiding the characteristics that make you unique. If you like to make bad puns or if you speak with a casual tone, don't try to bury those aspects of you. Instead, show them off. People have a much easier time connecting to other people than they do with a faceless business. Contribute to the community. Make sure your business remains active in your local community. For example, you could make sure your business has a presence at a local festival or gathering. You can also advertise with or provide resources for influential local groups. And you want to associate yourself with good causes. It's also a good idea to practice corporate social responsibility, CSR, and associate yourself with good causes. So consider donating money, resources, or your time to charities and local nonprofit organizations. You want to seek out good reviews. We've talked about this several times on the show. Getting lots of good local reviews for your business is the best thing you can do for your brand's reputation. Third-party reviews are highly visible, and they can support your other marketing endeavors. And while you shouldn't pay for or solicit reviews, do ask your customers to draft a review for your business when they can. Now, if you have to protect and restore your reputation because you've been the subject of a bad review, a scandal, or other incident that calls your reputation into question, there are some steps you can take to protect and or restore your reputation. First, try to make things right. Depending on the situation, you may have the opportunity to make things right. For example, if you have a client who's angry about the fact that the job wasn't done to their expectations, offer a free touch-up or replacement, and publicize your willingness to fix your mistake. If there's a bigger issue, like if you've been using a faulty product or a faulty process, offer a discount or special deal for all your customers as an apology. You want to refrain from retaliating. When you get a bad review, you may be tempted to retaliate against the person who made the post, insulting them or diminishing their viewpoint, but this can only work against you. Instead, be polite and kind and respond to their accusation as calmly as possible. You'll make a much more positive impact this way. Don't advertise the event unnecessarily. Even if you're exonerated, it's unwise to unnecessarily advertise the fact that you were accused of something. For example, you wouldn't want to state on your website that you were taken to court but found innocent. That can still make a questionable impression on new clients. Be upfront and honest when asked. If you are asked about a problematic incident on social media or by a prospective client, don't dodge the question or lie. Instead, just state the facts as you know them and explain your perspective. People will respect your honesty, even if it isn't exactly what they wanted to hear. And focus on your existing client relationships. In the wake of a public accusation, seeking new clients may be more challenging. Instead, focus on rebuilding or reinforcing your existing client relationships with personal conversations and follow-ups on their needs. Facing a blow to your reputation does not mean that your company is going to collapse, but it is important for you to take action to restore that reputation. Dedicate at least some time every week to improving your public image and keeping your brand strong enough that no single incident can break it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 6 financing options to help you survive a cash flow crunch. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Citing the need to debate the financial impacts from the bill, Senator Rand Paul has objected to fast-tracking the measure to provide health care to September 11th attack first responders who became sick after working at Ground Zero in New York. The Kentucky Republican stopping Democrats from unanimously passing the bill on a voice vote yesterday. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says not to worry, it will eventually pass after the debate is over.
We're going to pass the 9/11 emergency bill, deal with this tragedy, and we will do that, and we will do it shortly.
Forecasters say there's a dangerous heat wave over two-thirds of the U.S. that will stretch through this weekend. Millions will swelter as temperatures top 100 degrees from the Midwest to the East Coast. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host, with you for about the next half hour. I wanted to make mention, go off script for a minute, but I wanted to make mention of co-branding, co-partnering with other businesses in your community. Now, the other day I went to breakfast at the Flemington Coffee Shop, and Santiago, the owner there, brought out my sandwich and gave me a napkin. He goes, oh, here's your new Planet Fitness napkin. I'm like, why am I getting a Planet Fitness napkin? But here it was. My very own Planet Fitness napkin. He gave me two of these. And on it, it just basically says $10 a month, and it lists seven different locations of where the Planet Fitness stores are. So what's happened is he's co-partnered with Planet Fitness so that they'll get free advertising by giving out their locations on the napkin. So kind of think of it like this. You go eat a hearty breakfast at the Flemington Coffee Shop, and then you go work it off at Planet Fitness. I think it's genius that they're working together like that. And I don't know whether or not Planet Fitness is paying him. I'll get more details on that. But it's a great way for you to co-partner and co-promote each other's business. So if you have a business in town that you do business with, don't be shy about co-promoting them. Maybe even putting a display of some of their products in your showroom as well. Let's talk about financing. This time of the year, I get a lot of requests from people about how can they shrink or expand, depending on the way you look at it, their cash flow situation. Once school's out, July, August, sales seem to dip down, and they can't wait for the fall to come back. They certainly can't wait for the Christmas season to come back. I've seen business owners playing solitaire on their iPads. I've seen them doing the crossword puzzles. There's just not enough happening. So how can you help survive a cash flow crunch? Now, as a small business owner, you've likely found yourself in a situation where cash is tight. So when you're squeezed for cash, it can be difficult, if not impossible, to cover payroll for your staff, keep your shelves stocked, and keep operations running smoothly on a day-to-day basis. Here are a few ideas that may help you stem that cash flow crunch. Fortunately, there are several forms of business funding available that can help you survive a cash flow crunch. There are also some best practices you can implement to avoid the same situation next year. First would be a short-term loan. One option to finance your way out of a tough spot is to take out a short-term loan. Now, with this loan, you can stay afloat through a slower period. Since they are designed to help you out quickly, they are generally smaller sums of money loaned out at interest rates of around 10% or higher with repayment periods of 12 months or less. Most short-term loans come with factor rates and a daily or weekly repayment schedule. This makes the annual rates of short-term loans more costly than longer-term business loans, but again, it gives you ready capital as you need it. You can also go for a business line of credit. So if a short-term loan isn't for you, you may want to look into a business line of credit. As one of the more popular choices of financing, business credit lines are known for being both flexible and fast. They come with a maximum withdrawal limit set by the lender, from which you, the business, can withdraw up to that amount as needed and then pay it back. This is what sets them apart from a business loan, as you are only responsible for paying back what you need and use plus interest rather than a set lump sum. You can also use your business credit cards. There is also the option of opening a business credit card, and this can offer almost instant access to funds in lieu of waiting potentially weeks for an approval, as in the case of a traditional loan. With a credit card, like a line of credit, you only pay interest on what you use, and your available credit is restored once you pay that back what you borrow. You are technically only required to make minimum monthly payments, but it's always a best practice to pay back everything in full. Otherwise, you may find yourself in a downward debt spiral, continually paying interest on the outstanding balance. Invoice financing and invoice factoring. Invoice financing is another route for funding your business and is generally used if the root cause of your cash flow crunch is slow payments. It allows you to borrow against your accounts receivable with outstanding invoices serving as collateral in exchange for upfront cash. Invoice factoring is similar but involves the sale of those outstanding invoices to a lender. The lender then takes over the process of collecting from your customers. Both options, however, should be used when you need cash, but accounts simply aren't paying up. Keep in mind that factoring rates and fees tend to be higher than those of traditional business loans. And additionally, most factoring and financing companies work exclusive with B2B businesses. So if you're a B2C enterprise, this likely would not be for you. There's also what they call a merchant cash advance. A merchant cash advance is a quick means to an end because they are so instantaneous. The funds are unsecured, meaning you are free from having to forfeit any assets if the business goes under. There are no fixed terms, but they do generally come with APRs that can skyrocket quickly. So tread carefully here. You may be on the hook for paying much more than expected. There's also business term loans. With a business term loan, you borrow a lump sum of money which you pay back at fixed intervals over a predetermined period of time. Repayment periods for term loans can range from 6 months to as long as 20 years, and with a new crop of online lenders, you can now get funds in just a few days. This is opposed to the several months it can take with traditional banks or the Small Business Administration. Now, here's three other tips that can help you survive a cash flow crunch. If financing isn't the right route for your business, there are still other ways that you can manage yourself through a cash crisis. First, you can negotiate with your vendors. If you have a good relationship with your vendors or certain suppliers, you may be able to ask for an extension of the due date. You may also be able to adjust payment terms moving forward. For instance, if you currently have 30-day terms, see if you can extend payables to 45 days or even 60 days. Then evaluate your current expenses. Take a look at your costs and identify any miscellaneous expenses or money leaks that could be hurting your cash flow. Are there any services that you're not using that you're still being charged for? Facebook ads that are not converting, overpaying your accountant or insurance provider. Reevaluate your pricing is the third step. How long has it been since you've evaluated your pricing structure? If inventory prices have increased but you haven't raised your prices in tandem, you could be losing money. Beyond direct costs, you also want to make sure that you're factoring indirect costs into the equation, which could include everything from accounting fees to office supplies. Additionally, check out how much your competitors are charging and see where you stack up against them. Now, here's five tips to avoid cash flow crunches moving forward. As you recover from your financial crunch, you're going to want to be proactive in avoiding a similar situation in the future. This is where we call timeout, and I say, don't forget, we interviewed him last summer. Read Mike Michalowicz's book, Profit First. That's the best way to avoid a cash crunch because you will always be putting money away for certain things like payroll, for rent, for equipment, things like that. You want to track your expenses. The most straightforward way is to obsessively track your expenses. Knowing every little detail about what money you have on hand and what you are spending on will only make you hyper aware of where you stand financially. The more you know, the better prepared you are and the quicker you can make or reevaluate your spending choices so you can save money. You're going to want to perform regular cash flow analysis and projections. You should also perform a cash flow analysis on a regular basis, which will help you identify trends in ebbs and flows in your cash reserves on a seasonal basis. Additionally, look ahead 6 to 12 months at a time and forecast where you want to be and where you expect to be so you can budget more effectively and readjust your planning if it looks like you may be experiencing another slow period ahead. Again, plan for seasonal ebbs and flows. In conjunction with that forecast, always be prepared for the seasonal ebbs and flows of money coming in. Customer spending fluctuates, and so you should plan your expenses and financial forecasts around them. For example, in the retail world, you should see an uptick in incoming cash around the holidays and then a decrease right after. However, if you're providing professional services, plan differently. Most of your clients will be taking off around the holidays and thus causing a decrease in the capital coming in. And then you want to incentivize your customers to pay early. You can stay ahead of the game by incentivizing your customers to make early payments. If you have a reliable stream of money coming in ahead of due dates, it will be much easier to stay afloat. Establishing a standardized payment plan and then encouraging early payments such as discounts or options to bundle bills will increase the chances of customers making on-time payments and reduce the risk for less reliable customers to miss payments. So there are some ideas on how to avoid that cash crunch. And like I said, I've probably received in the last 2 months 15 to 20 emails from people asking about this and how they can avoid it and how they can work around it. So hopefully that will help you as you prepare for those, again, the seasonal ebbs and flows and for when your customers are slow to pay. But always a great idea to look at where you're going to be. So if we're in July of this year and you're having a problem with cash flow, pretty good indicator that you're going to be in the same position next July. So what can you do to prevent that? What can you do to stem that? And the profit first method works really well with that, because if you put money away, a reserve fund, if you will, and you always have it, called a profit account, you can tap into that later, almost like a loan, but you'll never, you know, get to the point where you can say, I can't make payroll. I've been doing that now for a year and a half, ever since I read the book and when I met Mike. And it's changed the way I think about business. Most businesses, you know, have one checking account, and that's it, money in, money out. When the money doesn't come in, it's very hard for the money to go out. So by having several accounts earmarked for certain things, I have one for rent, royalties, taxes, equipment, my profit account, my operating expenses account. You know, if you wanted to buy a new car, set up a car account. You know, whatever you want to do, you can reserve it for that. And then it's not a bad idea to put money in reserve so it's there when you need it. Large equipment purchase, you know, any kind of disaster strikes your business, you'll have operating cash to work with it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about four giant time sucks that are ruining your business. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunted In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunted In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You lucky W. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gonneau, the host of this program, with you every Thursday at noon to discuss issues that affect business, both large and small. And a lot of times, small businesses can learn from large business mistakes and vice versa. I want to talk to you for a minute about what we call time sucks, things that are taking you away from your business and that could potentially be ruining your business. And that's everything from inefficient tasks, too many meetings, poor delegating skills. They can jeopardize the success of your business. So you need to learn how to take control of those. And when it comes to a productive workday, there are plenty of things that get in the way. The casual drop-by conversations, checking and responding to mountains of email, and of course the endless possibilities brought to you by the internet. But those are also all within the eyes and the control of the beholder. And often it just takes some simple motivation and self-control to get back on track. But what about those hidden or less obvious time-sucking realities that are buried in the everyday? Now, for business owners, the inefficiencies in processes, tasks, and project management can quickly turn into costly time-suckers that can seriously jeopardize the success of your business. First would be too many meetings or unproductive meetings. 11 million, that's how many meetings are held per day in the United States, and half of those meetings are reportedly a waste of time. Unnecessary or unproductive meetings have become a hallmark of the workplace, and yet over the course of a week, they can put a significant dent in productivity as well as your bottom line. So evaluate your meetings and work with your managers to reduce meetings where possible and make other necessary meetings more efficient. Use agendas, come prepared, and take notes. You also want to take a look at your management and administrative tasks. Now, your goal may be to close deals or get products out the door, but running a business takes a lot more than that. Payroll, benefits, finances, inventory, scheduling. These are all necessary tasks associated with running a business. And the same is true for project management, which, if not done properly, can lead to significant time lost, poor performance, and missed deadlines. Fortunately, today's technology allows business owners to transform that work from a manual, time-sucking hassle to an automated and efficient process. If there's an administrative or project management task you need to complete, there's likely an app to help you do it. As an added bonus, many of the apps out there are designed to easily integrate with each other, meaning you can store and transfer valuable information from app to app, cutting out even more time spent on mundane yet required tasks. The third is probably the one that every business owner is guilty of, and that is trying to do it all yourself. You built your business from the ground up. You put in plenty of time, effort, and money, blood, sweat, and tears on the table to get things going. That commitment is seeing every step of the journey through can easily translate to a general responsibility to oversee all aspects of the business. Trying to do everything is not only exhausting, but it can be a real waste of your time and energy. In the very beginning, finding employees you can trust may be difficult, but over time, it's important to allow those in management positions to do just that. Manage their department, providing you with feedback as necessary. Delegating tasks is imperative if you want your business to succeed. By doing so, you free up time and focus on the bigger picture and make decisions that will save and grow your business. And then not setting clear expectations. Delegating tasks to your employees will go a long way in maximizing your time. But for it to be productive, clear expectations need to be in place. And that's true for you as well. Without clear expectations, the roadmap can veer off track quickly, leaving projects meandering months past their projected close dates. Everyday tasks turn into huge and confusing ordeals, and employees bogged down by uncertainty. From job descriptions to quarterly goals, expectations can help clarify duties and create roadmaps for the weeks and months ahead. Help you and your team save time and stay on track. There are plenty of ways that waste time in the workday, and some of them, like browsing the internet or responding to emails and calls, are obvious and easy to control. Others, like those mentioned above, may be less obvious but are far more dangerous if left unchecked. If you are falling into any of the time-sucking mistakes that I've already listed, it's time to stop wasting time and start saving your bottom line. One of the things that I did want to mention on that is a great trick is to set an alarm on your clock to ring every hour and turn off your email browser. Just work. Whatever you're working on, work at it. But close the email window so that for that hour you're uninterrupted, because every time you see another line drop down that you have a new email, chances are you're going to get bogged down with it. You're going to want to check it, and then as a result, it's going to start taking away some of the time that you have available. I want to talk to you here at Huntington Chamber Radio. We are the only radio station owned by a Chamber of Commerce. And one of the questions that I get a lot when, because I'm on the board here, is how can your local Chamber of Commerce boost your business? So I want to talk about that for a minute. I found an interesting story that I think addresses this probably better than I ever would have. So I just want to delve right into it. So a Chamber of Commerce like this is a local organization that furthers the interests of business within a community. Business owners come together to form a group such as this that promotes local shopping. Though with Google, social media, and online marketing, you may think that joining your local chamber is an old-school tactic that won't pay off. Why should your business consider participating in your local chamber? Isn't it just one more meeting to add to your demanding schedule? In fact, research shows that consumers tend to think more highly of a business that belongs to the Chamber of Commerce than not. Consumers infer from membership in the chamber that your business is more trustworthy and involved in the community. So here are some other benefits that you can get with your chamber membership. Publicity and community visibility. A chamber of commerce is a local hub for information. For example, tourists contact the chamber to get information about local businesses, restaurants, etc. Businesses thinking of moving into the area can contact the chamber to learn more about the community. Local individuals often call the chamber to get referrals to businesses. Your local chamber will recommend member businesses first. You may also get additional advertising through the chamber's publications and online presence. There's networking opportunities like our business expo and card clubs. At chamber meetings, you have the opportunity to meet other professionals in your community. Think of it as an in-person LinkedIn. Chamber members who know your business can often refer their own customers to you. At professional development meetings, you can meet leaders in the community who want to know what small business owners think. It's another great way to have a voice in your town. Sometimes chamber members will offer discounts and services to fellow members. Chamber members will often offer special pricing or discounts to other chamber members, and the chamber itself usually promotes new businesses with a ribbon cutting and may celebrate other events with businesses, such as 25 years in business or retirement of a CEO. As well, most chambers of commerce host special events in the community. The members often get free booths or discounted rates at these events to promote services and products. What else should you consider about chamber membership? Now, although there are many benefits to joining the local chamber of commerce, there's always another side. You need to think about the cons. A chamber does have a membership fee, which could be prohibitive to new or very small businesses. However, think of it as the price for advertising and maintaining a positive standing within the community. Online marketing comes with analytics that identify whether your ads pay off. However, when you join the chamber, you may not see an immediate ROI. You won't immediately know if the chamber membership is worth your investment because it's not as easy to track the customers who come through your business through the chamber. And finally, fitting chamber events into your busy schedule may not be easy. To make the most of your membership, you have to be active and show up at monthly meetings, and you also have to carve out time for chamber activities and special events. So is the chamber a good marketing plan for you? It might be difficult to know whether chamber membership is worth your advertising dollars. You have to weigh the expense against the activity of your local chamber. Your presence at chamber events might give you the benefits that social media and Google simply can't. Plus, the relationships you form with other business owners are invaluable. So consider joining your local Chamber of Commerce as a marketing strategy to boost your business today and in the future. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National. In NASCAR news, Kurt Busch edged out his brother Kyle on a green-white checkered restart to win the Quaker State 400 at Kentucky Speedway last Saturday night. This week, the teams head to New Hampshire for the New Hampshire 301 Sunday at 3 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network. And in golf, today starts the British Open at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleon is appearing before a House Oversight Committee to discuss the policy of splitting up illegal alien families at the southern border. Republican Congressman Chip Roy from Texas and Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleon on the crisis at our southern border.
We have a crisis of national security, overstretched resources, endangerment of American citizens, endangerment of Texas communities, and endangerment of migrants along the journey at the hands of cartels, is it not?
It's also a border security crisis.
The truth is that dangerous cartels, particularly the Gulf cartels, Reynosa faction, the CDN of Los Zetas, and the Sinaloas, are massively profiting by moving people through Mexico to the United States, correct?
Yes.
Convicted sex offender and financier Jeffrey Epstein has been denied bail. He's awaiting trial on new charges in New York that he had sex with underage girls. Epstein is accused of sex trafficking dozens of girls in his Manhattan and Florida homes in the early 2000s. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
The House passes legislation to gradually increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour.
This bill honors the dignity of work, grows the economy, and upholds the bedrock idea of fairness in our country, that hard work deserves a decent wage.
Speaking today on Capitol Hill, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saying that millions of Americans would get a raise. Now, what we have found, though, and studies have shown that in cities such as Seattle and San Francisco, where minimum wage increases were made, more businesses closed. On Wednesday, a judge in Nantucket, Massachusetts, tossed out charges of sexual assault against actor Kevin Spacey. But according to ABC News legal analyst Dan Abrams, Spacey is not out of the woods yet.
We don't know exactly what's happening in this investigation in England. There had been a place he worked which said, look, here's an anonymous email address. If you have any complaints about him, anything that happened, please let us know. They got a lot of reports from people, and now you have investigation going on in England.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Republican Senator from Kentucky Rand Paul objected Wednesday to an attempt to pass a unanimous consent bill regarding the bill for funding 9/11 first responders, arguing that passing such a long-term bill without offsetting the costs would contribute to our nation's debt.
It has long been my feeling that we need to address our massive debt in this country. We have a $22 trillion debt. We're adding debt at about $1 trillion a year. And therefore, any new spending that we are approaching, any new program that's going to have the longevity of 70, 80 years, should be offset by cutting spending that's less valuable.